Welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. We'd like to thank all of our listeners for joining us each and every week. We would also like to take this opportunity to ask that you support GeekLegacy.com by clicking on any of our Amazon links before you go shopping. By doing so, we will receive a small kickback, and every little bit helps in keeping the legacy alive to bring you the latest and greatest in geek news and reviews. Thank you! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Justin Cavender, and as always, I'm joined by Amanda, David, Randy, and our special guest this week, Jessica. How is everybody doing tonight?
Fantastic.
Woo!
Super sweet.
Yeah. All right, then. So, what's going on, guys? How's tricks? What's happening? Talk to me. Dave, go.
Well, it's been some fun stuff in the world of movies. One film that I don't think is on a lot of people's radar because it's a made-for-HBO movie is a film called Behind the Candelabra. It's Steven Soderbergh's final movie. He's tired of making movies that people don't understand. And so he has decided that his final picture as an Academy Award-winning director is going to be a biopic on the life of Liberace. And I don't know if you guys have seen the stills or the trailer. It is magnificent. Michael Douglas plays Liberace. Matt Damon plays his lover, Scott Thornton. And Rob Lowe plays, I don't know what he plays, but he is creepy looking. Like, he looks like one of the guys from, like, Dr. Seuss and How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Yeah, he looks like a Who. And it's just incredible. And the trailer's on the site. Go to geeklegacy.com, check out the full trailer. And I am pretty sure you'll want to see the movie just based off of the flamboyancy of Michael Douglas as Liberace. Have you guys checked it out yet?
Mm-hmm. I did indeed.
And what did you think?
Okay, so I didn't really know about Liberace's private life, so I didn't know anything about this, like, relationship that he had with, what was his name,
Scott Thornton,
and I was shocked about, like, the two sec, there was, like, a very brief moment when they're talking about Scott getting plastic surgery to make his face look like Liberace's face. I was like, what the F? Who does that? That's so frightening and scary that you just, like, that you would do that.
Yeah, I want you to make him look like this.
Yeah. Ooh. That poor guy.
Yeah, and I'm sorry,
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I like his hair and shiny outfits.
I agree.
And a sparkly car. That's about it. That's all I got.
That's all you got out of it?
That's all I got out of it.
You didn't get this, like, the twisted, like, relationship and, like, emotional abuse and
Michael
whatnot.
Douglas actually looks pretty good. I mean, considering, you know, he had that real bad cancer scare, you know, he is pretty old. He actually looks pretty good in this film. I mean, all things considered.
Who looks good?
Michael Douglas. Looks young and virile.
Oh.
Looks like Liberace.
Like that, but
Liberace.
He doesn't look like he went through a bout of cancer.
Yeah. Bounce back. That's what Catherine Zeta-Jones will do.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I like that scene in the movie where she steals shit, where she's ducking under the laser beams.
That's a good one with our buddy Connery.
Yeah.
Special guest star.
It's called Steal Shit.
It's Entrapment.
There you go, Entrapment.
Steal Shit.
I like your title better. Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones go to Singapore and steal shit that's not theirs.
Yeah, goddamn kleptos.
Two.
Should be called GD Kleptos.
I think that's, like, the European title.
Wasn't there another movie with Pierce Bronson that's, like, the same thing?
Are you talking about Thomas Crown Affair? With
They came out, like, a year apart or something like that, too.
And they both are amazing films. The Thomas Crown Affair is a remake. But they're both are good movies.
Oh, it's a remake of Steel Shit.
Yeah, but they changed the title because, you know, censors and liberal media.
Yeah.
I guess it would be conservative media. Never mind.
Yeah.
Strike that.
Struck it.
Take that out.
It's taken.
Skip past this. Never show this again.
That's interesting that you say never show this again because, you know what? We don't have any video today.
What am I looking at?
I don't know.
There are all these dudes dancing around with no clothes on. That's not you guys?
That's Ender's Game.
Oh. Well, speaking of Ender's Game, have you guys seen the controversy with the author, Orson Scott Card?
No, what's the controversy?
Yar, I guess he is a super active member of the Mormon Church, very conservative, and he is very outspoken against the homosexual community and the gay agenda, as he calls it. And so a lot of people are calling for, you know, boycotts of the film and stuff like that. And so the studio cannot issue press releases fast enough saying that Mr. Scott Card has nothing to do with our film or his involvement is very minimal. But it's like the movie's based on his words. And so it's just kind of interesting to see a studio just, you know, throw someone under the bus so fast because of the bottom line.
Now, did he have this belief when he wrote the book, or is it like new, like Kirk Cameron?
No, he was always.
He was always like that. He just got more vocal about it, like in the past 10 years or so.
When people started listening to him.
Yeah.
But he used to write for the Mormon publications before he wrote Ender's Game. Like, he used to write under fake names, which is ironic since in the book, you know, two of the main characters write under assumed names. And so that's what he did. He wrote under assumed names for, like, Mormon and Christian and, you know, conservative newspapers. And then he wrote Ender's Game. And I guess he still writes some stuff under, like, assumed names. Hmm. Crazy guy.
Sounds like he has a real identity problem.
Perhaps. That's sad.
Maybe he is a closet homosexual and he doesn't want that to get out.
You know, Justin, I think you're onto something.
So
you go over to Utah and you just, you camp it out and you, you report from the front, Justin.
I've been to Utah. Car broke down there once.
Yeah, yeah. So not a good trip.
In the middle of a forest, a bit like a horror movie, actually.
Was it night?
No, it was day. Early that morning, actually.
Yeah, that's good. If it was night, then you'd be scared.
Yeah. But
even a lot of horror movies nowadays are taking place during the day.
Like what?
I don't know, like movies. Like, I don't know, like House of a Thousand Corpses and all those, like, they their abduction is like during the day, or like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, a lot of it was during the day.
That's what House of Corpses is at nighttime. It's raining and it's dark.
Well, fine. I don't know anything about anything.
Well, Deliverance happened all day.
That's yeah. Cool. Day's not safe.
What?
But that's backwards. That's different. That's a whole nother ballgame.
Utah, backwards. It's all the same to me.
They're the same place.
The that other movie, Wrong Turn, at least the first one. I never saw the other one. So that's in the day too, Dave.
Yeah.
So you might have something there.
So is Devil's Rejects.
All the movies.
Yeah. All the money.
All two.
All the money.
We named like three.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm impressed.
Whatever.
I didn't think there was a single one.
Hmm. Sorry, I didn't know that.
I am too.
Other fun movie news. This is for Justin only. You'll be happy to know, Justin, they started filming Captain America, the Winter Soldier today.
Oh, I heard about that. I think I read it somewhere on geeklegacy.com.
Coincidentally, yeah.
And the Black Widow is going to be in it.
Correct. She's going to play a major role in the film. So she's going to play a major role during the modern time stuff. There's still going to be flashbacks to World War II. But she is going to be in the modern era with Captain Steve Rogers. Captain America, Justin's favorite superhero and superhero film.
Because he's not strong enough to support the movie on his own, so they...
They needed some hot ladies.
Oh.
She kicks some butt.
They could have some 1940s pinup action, though.
They could. But no one wants to see that. No. They want to see Scott Johansson.
Justin wants to see that.
Yeah.
Some old-timey stuff. We got.
Don't you have a thing for pinups?
I do.
We can vote.
Oh, yeah.
I like the tease.
You like the interwebs.
Oh yeah, that too.
Clowns, midgets, amputees, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever floats your boat.
Like the feet pyramid.
Like, I picture, like, you know how they have, like, the champagne pyramid
for weddings? Right, but it's midgets.
Yeah, with open mouths.
Yeah, I like it.
Just oozes out.
I don't think I should say midget. Should I say?
Little person. Small person? I don't.
No, it's little person. Pretty sure.
Don't worry about peeing in their mouth.
Oh, God.
Well, hey, Randy, why don't you weigh in on the peeing in the mouth subject?
No comment. There's nowhere good I can go with that.
All right. Well, that's pretty much it for news. There's a lot of posters and trailers at geeklegacy.com. Tomorrow there should be a fun trailer for Elysium, which is the Matt Damon movie directed by Neil Blomkamp. I think his name, the guy who directed District 9. It looks pretty fun.
Yeah.
And so keep your peepers peeping, and there's going to be some fun stuff. DLC.com. Check it out.
How was the box office, do you know?
I know that Evil Dead was number one and Jurassic Park was number four.
Ooh.
Which was kind of sad because Jurassic Park 3D was number one on Friday, number two on Friday. Not too far behind. I think Evil Dead had 10 million and Jurassic Park had 7. But by the end of the weekend, Jurassic Park had petered off all the way back to fourth. So it's a little sad for our dino buddies because we're like Mr. Dino DNA.
Right. It's kind of a ride.
Yeah. But yeah, it ended up fourth. And I want to say that Evil Dead made 24 million. It was in the low to mid 20s, which is pretty good. I mean, I think the movie cost 14 to make, and horror movies do very well on DVD.
Yeah. That's good.
And the word of mouth is strong. You saw it. What did you think?
I loved it. Thought it was amazing, and I think it also helped me seeing it kind of by myself. Like, I didn't have anybody to kind of like hide behind or anything like that. So
can throw Lynn in front of you, like, hey, watch it. Yeah. Tell me when it's over.
Yeah, she's like a black belt. She's a multi-level black belt, whatever that means. We were joking about that earlier today. We coined a new phrase, a multi-level black belt. Anyway, what you call it? Yeah, no, it was good. It was gory. It was funny. I think everyone was yelling at the movie the entire time. Like, anytime somebody did something silly, like when the one guy, the hippie dude, opens up the book and he's cutting the wire. Did you kind of laugh at that too, Jess? When he's like,
yeah,
he's like, oh, I got to see what's inside this book, and everyone's like, oh my god, if you see a book that's bound in like metal wire, you don't cut it open to see what it's.
Have you never seen a horror movie?
Oh, I know, and of course he's like a teacher, he's like a math teacher, history teacher, math teacher or something, yeah.
So we all like, have dumb friends that would do that. Like I personally know someone who's near and dear to me who would totally do that. I can totally picture him doing it.
It's not me, is it?
It's not anyone on the podcast. Oh,
okay. I'm like, I don't think I would do that. And then when that book's like, you know, leave this book alone and don't touch. And he just keeps on doing it. And he's reading the words and then bad stuff happens. But it was gnarly from start to finish. I enjoyed the crap out of it.
I second that opinion. It was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I saw a really bad review somewhere, but now I can't remember where it was.
Probably
someone hated it.
I've heard a couple things, but not a whole lot. I know I heard that people were upset because the characters were too bland, and I'm like, really? It's a horror movie. They pretty much fall into the cliches they're supposed to be in, but
Yeah, what kind of character development do you want out of your horror movie?
Right. Especially if people were to just take 90 minutes and rewatch the first Evil Dead.
Right.
Oh, right.
And see how ridiculous that movie is, and then, you know, watch the new one. I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, yeah. It's cool. It's definitely, it's a cult classic, and cult classic is code for a movie that bombed and had 8 people that liked it, and then all of a sudden it was 10 people, and then 20, and it just kept, you know, increasing in numbers over the years, but ultimately when it came out, it was not well received, and that's right. Just kind of the way cult classics work. So then they developed this following, and then there's those people out there that just, who refuse to accept a remake can be halfway decent or even amazing. So it's an uphill battle from the get-go.
And I used to be one of those people, but I have since seen the light of the Evil Dead, so...
Yeah, and see, I used to be against remakes, but I think everyone on this podcast knows how I feel about horror remakes, and that I think it is a good thing, because newer generations need to be exposed to that, and it's hard for, you know, a 12 or 13-year-old that's really into horror movies and likes to get scared, get into something that's 30 or 40 years old and campy and stupid and cheesy, and I think it's easier for them to relate to something that's new. So whether we like it or not, it's not fair to judge it because it's for a whole new audience. And I think that what's unique about Evil Dead is that it's great for everyone.
Yeah, horror and comedy movies. Family. Yeah. Foreign comedy films need to come back about every 20 years or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like Carrie, you know, I'm seeing a lot of buzz on the message boards about Carrie and, why are they making this? It looks horrible. I can't stand, you know, seeing that Chloe chick be casted as Carrie. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, at its core, Carrie is really a movie about bullying, and that is topical, you know, regardless. So I think that it's important for people to see that, because bullying is obviously wrong and it's terrible. And I hate the idea of, you know, maybe my kid going to school and being picked on, or maybe even worse, my kid doing the bullying. I think that would be terrible as well. And I just hope that I never find out that my child ever bullied a kid. I think that's terrible. I actually thought of a pretty cool punishment too.
Peeing in his mouth?
What would you do? Oh God.
No.
Like, he's got to be the top of the pyramid.
No, like, let's say that they had like an Xbox or a PlayStation, something that they loved more than anything. I would drive them over to the kid's house and make them give them their PlayStation and all their games, and it would be theirs to keep. And the only way that they would ever get to play it again is if the person that they bullied wanted to become their friend, forgave them, and invited them over to play it.
Meanwhile, you're out like $700.
I don't care. I don't care. Even if it's their car. Their car is their favorite thing. I got it.
You're gonna transfer.
I want to record ownership. This. I want this archive.
I'm not gonna like, you know, because I never got slapped or punched or beaten when I was a kid, and so I just want to come up with creative ways to punish them. And I can guarantee you that if my parents made me give away something that I loved to somebody that I didn't like or picked on, then I would never do it again.
Yo, there's a jerk who's got my PlayStation. Let's pound him again.
Yeah. I just get my shit back. Yeah, no, they're not.
Did you erase my saves? Did you erase my saves?
No, they should be protecting those people. And I hope that they will.
Absolutely. Raise them right and they will.
Yeah.
I mean, I never picked on anybody. Did anyone here pick on anybody?
Nope.
Or
at least parents. That I remember.
Parents for the win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, but, was anyone here picked on?
Oh, yeah.
Marissa. Yeah.
I was always the biggest kid in my school, so I never really got picked on. I had no idea how to fight, but I think people just assumed that since I was bigger than them that I could fight. So, skated by.
I just kind of blended in.
Yeah.
I didn't make too much of a fuss.
I would bet that 90% of my graduating class couldn't pick me out of a lineup if their life depended on it. Like, I just hated high school. I was like, is this going to be over soon? I don't want to be here anymore. I just sat in the back of the room, did my useless studying, got my grades, and left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Roadhouse.
All right, then. That's it. That's my 2 cents. Carrie, give it a chance. Bullying's bad.
Yeah.
That lights you on fire.
And I think audiences know about remakes and stuff like that. Because, like, Metacritic, you know, they have the critics have it at 58 out of 100, to where fans have it at 82 out of 100. And so most films have a better user score. IMDb has it at 7.6. So, I mean, it's tracking well amongst the people who have seen it. You know, people who haven't seen it are going to hate it just because it's a remake and Hollywood's dumb and run out of ideas.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, 7.5 isn't bad. I mean, means are affected by extreme scores, so obviously people are downvoting the shit out of it.
Yeah, probably haven't even seen it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I'm going to vote 10 just because.
I am outraged. Lynn gave me the idea to start upvoting stuff on Netflix to give people the idea that something that's terrible is really good. Now I'm just giving everything like max stars. Oh, that's terrible.
You're like Killer Clown from Mars. That's a 5.
Totally. That's a 6 if I could do it. Let me attach a note, an addendum.
Stay just staple to your screen. Yeah. People will see it. But yeah, that's pretty much it for news. What's going on with you, Amanda? What's happening in your neck of the woods? Don't say Midget Pyramid. Justin already did that one.
It's Little People Pyramid.
Yeah, whatever. Peeing in their mouths regardless.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun too if you raise their arms and then put one down, then like certain amounts of pee would come out, like it's like a nozzle
fountain. Little garden awesome. Fountain.
That'd be sweet.
Oh. The name of our title of our podcast here.
Yeah. stuff.
Are we done now?
I don't know. Are we? If you start talking, we have to stop. So I advise you to start talking quick.
So this week in television, we got episodes 2 of both Doctor Who and Game of Thrones, and Mad Men premiered yesterday as well, which was pretty cool if you like Mad Men, which I think maybe Justin does not, if I recall correctly.
I didn't get past the first season, so I can't really comment on it.
Yeah. So Doctor Who, you and I had different takes on the episode this past weekend. I was a bit disappointed with how fluffy it was. Aside from like the first 10 minutes, I think I felt like they were trying too hard to make it like a marriage of Star Wars and Indiana Jones, and the plot just like completely fell apart. It didn't make any sense to me, and there were no stakes involved, and
they
freaking destroyed the bad guy with a leaf. Ugh.
But it was an emotional leaf.
Yeah.
A planet-sized bad guy at that. A sun-sized.
Yeah, didn't Night Shyamalan direct this episode? Does that happen in two?
Seven worlds are going to be destroyed, Amanda. That's pretty high stakes.
What the hell was with the Donald Duck sound in the background of like every scene in the bazaar? There's always like some duck quacking. It sounded like
I didn't notice.
I did not notice that.
Oh my god! If you have the stomach to watch it again, once I heard it the first time, that was all I could hear. Sounded like Huey, Dewey, and Louie were having an orgy in the background of every one of those scenes.
Like when someone points out that like the lips are off in a scene and like you didn't notice it, and then that's all you can stare at is their lips that don't match the sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that I appreciated more. To me, it was more about Clara than the whole saving of the planet. I was more interested in everything about her.
Well, yeah, me too. Like, I wish there was had just been more about her. I mean, it was kind of about her, but I feel like the whole storyline with the planet just kind of, I don't know, it was just there.
What's with the space moped?
Yeah, and how they don't even need like helmets to breathe out in space. They're just flying.
Doesn't that have to do with the TARDIS? Like, wherever it is, it emits this energy or whatever that makes them able to understand people and breathe. And
Lynn had asked, how come they're able to just walk about? And I'm like, well, they used to take the time to explain all that stuff, but now you just have to accept that whatever you're seeing on the screen is plausible. It's just easier that way to just buy into whatever they're selling.
Well, and also, like, you know, this is a show about an alien who can travel through time and space in a spaceship that looks like a police box, and yet we're quibbling over how do they breathe on the moped?
I think, in the episode with Donna where they're in Pompeii, isn't that where they explain that the TARDIS lets them understand people?
Yeah, there's
that.
She
gets there and she's like, how am I talking to these people?
Yeah, there's all that. And they don't even see them looking any different. They don't pay no mind to them being humans or anything like that.
Yeah. It like disguises them.
Yeah. Magic.
Supposedly.
It's British magic.
I don't know. I want there to be more focus on Clara and the mystery that is Oswin. And
I want to know who the woman in the shop was that gave her the phone number.
I want to know why the TARDIS wouldn't let her in.
She doesn't have a key yet.
Is that why? But she said it doesn't like it. She said it seemed like it didn't like her. And I want to know if the TARDIS knows maybe something that the doctor doesn't about her.
Maybe she's just being sassy.
Maybe.
Well, in the past, the doctor usually gives somebody a key.
No.
But she's still kind of new.
Yeah.
He doesn't give it up right away.
That's true. The TARDIS is sentient, so it could let her in if it wanted to, I guess.
Yeah.
I've learned that all you need is a time machine and you can be the best stalker ever throughout the ages.
Oh, yeah.
You want to see your prey at age 10? Boom, you're there. It's creepy as hell.
Yeah, he looked kind of creepy while he was watching.
Yes, he did. Oh.
Yeah. I also like how she confronted him, though, about that. And, you know, when he said, you know, you remind me of somebody, and, like, I had to check on something or whatever. And she's like, I'm not going to be, like, your replacement for somebody else.
I'm not going to compete with a ghost.
Yeah. I was like,
how Martha Clara. Was.
Yeah, that was Martha's biggest beef, was that she wasn't Rose. And it's like, dude,
she wouldn't let it go.
You're better than Rose. Don't worry about it. Oh, well. So say we all.
And she forgot it all anyway.
Yeah. Oh, dang. Anyway, I like where it's going. I like any episode that kind of has a human element to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how I connect with the show. If it's too alien-y, then I'm just not into it. But whenever the Doctor has to make choices, then I'm more keen on it. Mm-hmm. And how he's able to say, you know, like, you know, I've known more, I've lost more than you could ever know, and I've been everywhere, been around the universe like 50 times, blah, blah, blah.
Then, yeah, I really liked his speech that he gave.
I think that stuff like that connects him on a human level, and that's great because he spends all of his time with humans, so it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, good stuff.
I enjoyed it. I can see where Amanda's coming from as far as, like, the problems were very quickly resolved, and then they were just like, okay, that's done, we're moving on. But, I mean, I don't know. I still enjoyed it.
Anyway, next week, a human das Boot.
And then Game of Thrones. Everybody's saying that you didn't really like the Bran scenes, but I like Bran. He's so adorable.
Oh my god, no.
His little baby face.
Baby face? The kid looks like he just got home from college.
He still looks like a baby.
He can ride the big kid rides now. And he gets to cut to the front of the line at Disneyland. Imagine that.
Because he's handicapped.
That's pretty insensitive, Amanda. Whoa.
I'm sorry. Differently.
Where's this
abled.
Coming from?
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it to myself. Never mind. I had something, but I'll keep it.
Yeah. And we get some new characters. We got the Reeds, Jojen and Mara, or whatever her name is.
Mira. That's what the show needed, more characters.
Yeah. Well, there's just going to be more. I don't know. When I read your little comment, I was like, is he nuts? There's like 60 more characters they're going to introduce in the next couple of seasons.
He needs to make a family tree.
He needs to get killing quick.
Oh, you're funny.
Martin is slacking off. He needs to kick those killings into hyperdrive.
I think he forgets. I think he's, like, lost his way.
George R. R. Martin?
Mm-hmm. He keeps writing about food because he forgets where he's going with the story.
He's like,
10 pages about the food.
Arbor Gold and Dornish wine and
cheesemongering.
Just get the Viper to King's Landing, and then the show's going to be good. But I don't think they're going to have that till the second half the next season.
And I really liked the scene with Catelyn Stark when she's talking about how she hated Jon Snow and how she wished that he had died when he was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I can't stand her. I hate her character so much, and it's really not fair for her to not like Jon Snow, because when you think about it, Ned only married her because it was his duty. His brother was supposed to marry her, but he died, and in their family, that's how you do things. They pass it on to the brother for his responsibility. So now Ned is forced to marry this broad, and we don't know anything about Jon Snow's mother except for, like, two sentences in, like, book 5, and I think that she is really unfair to him for being so upset, because what if he loved this other woman that he was with?
Well, and also the whole thing was really like at the beginning of their marriage, right?
Yeah, like they had been married 5 minutes.
Yeah, so it was like they hadn't even really fallen in love with each other yet.
Yeah.
And for her to be like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense for her to be so hateful towards John, especially since he, as like for all intents and purposes, has been nothing but completely, you know, honorable and devoted to the family, despite the fact that he's a bastard.
Right, and she completely forgives Ned. Like, she has no problem forgiving Ned, but she can't forgive this, like, baby, this, like, small kid who, you know, she should be mad at Ned because he's the one who cheated on her and
but he, had this other baby. She shouldn't be that mad, though, because, like I said, they weren't even really... Yeah, they were together, but it was totally arranged. He wasn't going to be with her originally, so...
And he was reeling from the death of the woman that he was going to marry, too. So, I don't know.
So she can put that in her pipe and smoke it.
Bitch, just be crazy.
She is a redhead.
Way cray cray.
That's how redheads are, man. They're crazy. They are just wired different. Not that that's a bad thing. They just,
It sounds like you're insinuating that's a bad thing.
Hey, it's crossing the streams there.
As long as you know what you're getting yourself into from the get-go.
That's it. That's exactly it. They is kissed by fire, as they say.
Egret.
And if you play with matches, he's going to get punked.
It's supposed to be lucky because they're kissed by fire.
Oh, yeah? Well, we all know.
That's what they say. No, that's not true.
Oh, jeez.
Don't be spoiling it.
I ain't spoiling nothing.
I want to bask.
Nobody. Qui-Gon's in it, though.
I want to bask in their misery as Qui-Gon is in it. Jerks.
Anyway, what else you got?
I just want to see Joffrey get a punch in the face.
Oh, that's it. That's what I want to talk about. Okay, so Marjorie Tyrell. She is kind of my unofficial hero. Like, Littlefinger. Littlefinger is really my hero. Because he's just got this total pedophile vibe going on, and I always feel, like, totally uncomfortable when I read anything in the books. Like, I just want to get a moist towelette and clean off my book after I read it, because he's so gross. And I love him, though, because he's, like, a total used car salesman. But Marjorie Tyrell is just, she is one clever broad, and I loved the way she just played freaking Joffrey. Like, he was a cat on a string. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She figured that shit out in 2 seconds, and even when Sansa said that he was a monster, she just kind of like smirked, like, "All right, well, now I know what I got to do." Like,
yeah.
Another day in the life of Marjorie. You know what I mean? She's cool. She is the kind of queen that I would like to see.
Yeah, and what do you call it? Jared pointed this out as well, but it also like demonstrated just how ill-equipped Sansa is for the politics of King's Landing. Oh. Like, she's just completely clueless. Like, she can't handle it at all.
Nope. I mean, you know how many times they've asked her? Like with Tyrion, he's like, "Dude, I can get you out of this. Just let me know." She's like, "I love Joffrey. He's my king. Blah, blah, blah." He's like, "Ugh, stop, girl."
I think she's just... like, she's just so afraid of what will happen. And plus, I don't think she...
Well, she's a girl. She's a child.
Yeah.
And...
yeah.
And she's the one that told Cersei in the first place of her daddy's plans.
It's all her fault.
All her fault. So...
oh, yeah. There's probably that, too.
Yeah.
She feels so guilty.
They don't really address that so much in the TV show, but, you know... in the first couple pages of book 2.
But we know.
We know.
Yeah.
That's all that matters, is we know that it's Sansa's fault.
And I just want to point out that this was over a boy, and she does have red hair. Those red-haired girls will do anything for a relationship.
Tisk, tisk.
No argument here.
That's how they do.
Hear, hear.
Rabble, rabble, rabble.
So there we go.
I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
Moving on. So also another show that we were raging about on the site was The Following, which Jess, you pointed out, has crossed over into the utter ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I think it's just completely gone. Just there's no hope for it ever coming back and making any kind of sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it kind of went off the rails.
So he's out of jail now?
He's been out of jail for like three episodes.
Oh, I haven't watched it. I haven't watched it in weeks.
He escaped. Yeah. They did the old switcheroo with the cars.
Oh.
His lawyer helped him get out.
Oh, yeah, the one that's missing fingers?
Yeah, and he extorted the warden.
Yeah. So that his lawyer's dead now.
Yeah, he killed her.
What a bad man.
Yeah, it's just, ugh. It's really the whole thing that you and I are talking about, Justin, about how like everyone's in on it, and they just keep taking it to new levels.
They just keep adding the amount of people are in it, but then they keep just killing people. Like Ryan Hardy's killed like 20 cult members already, and I'm like, can't you just maim them so you can actually ask them questions?
Yeah.
Instead of shooting to kill.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Stupid. Pass.
And then freaking, what's her face? Let herself. Claire. Yeah, Claire, let herself get captured.
Is that the wife?
Gummy.
Is that
the
wife? She's really pretty. I like
she was
her.
Like, take me to my son, because that will fix everything. Somehow.
They still don't have the son back?
No.
I don't even
now
watch this
all
show.
They're together.
But they're all...
now Claire is with Joe and her son and all 85,000 cult members in this mansion somewhere.
Well played.
Yeah.
And Joe Carroll just keeps calling Ryan on the phone and they have conversations and then he hangs up and that's all that happens with that.
It's so
I watched
silly.
Tonight's episode, so there will be a review tomorrow.
This is just like prank call him like at 2 in the morning?
Kind of.
Like, dude, there's a rhino in your lawn, man. Do something about it.
Oh, you're gonna love this. So apparently some girl that Kevin Bacon was dating, not like Kevin Bacon the actor, but his character, some girl that he was dating for, I don't know,
years
like
ago.
6-9 months apparently has been one of Carol's followers the entire time.
Oh, of course.
So
and she's also
dumb.
An angel of death.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, she
like
works at a hospital and kills people.
Oh.
No. If that started to happen, I might be a little bit more interested. At least I could suspend my disbelief a little bit more.
Right.
Yeah, that's silly. What a dumb show. I like that other one, though, Bates Motel. I think that one's good.
That is good. Much better than I thought it was going to be.
I'm surprised that he's already crazy. Like, they didn't waste
I think
much
he's
time.
Just always crazy. Like, born kind of crazy.
Right. Yeah. I don't think I was prepared for that because now he's like seeing things and.
Well, then it kind of also makes you wonder like, is Norma really that? I mean, she's overbearing, that's for sure, but is she really actually the crazy one? Like, in the movie, she's crazy or was crazy. But in the show, it kind of seems like Norman is just the crazy one the whole time, and she's just kind of an overprotective mom, kind of weird sometimes.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
Minus the whole stabbing that guy thing, but he deserved it.
I'm not a very good judge of character, so I wouldn't know.
You're an excellent judge of character. You're friends with me.
That's true. But you told me to be.
That's true. So maybe you're just a good listener.
Yeah, I think so. I developed pretty good listening skills in junior high. We had to listen to The Shadow, the radio show, and take a quiz after. It pretty much fine-tuned my listening skills.
It really prepared you for life.
They did. I was prepared for the Alec Baldwin movie, The Shadow, because I knew what it was.
It was not a good movie.
No, it's not. It's pretty bad.
But that is a cinematic masterpiece.
I preferred The Phantom with Billy Zane.
Yeah, so purple suit and guns. his little pistolas. Or no, he has got little
yeah,
pistols.
He has pistols and a ring and a mask.
And a horse.
And a, yeah. That's and there's hot. Like an Indiana Jones style truck chase over a rope bridge. It's like they're trying to combine Raiders and Temple of Doom all in one.
I like it. Good stuff. Yeah.
Was that before or after Titanic?
That was before.
Well, that was, yeah. Yeah.
That pretty much started the superhero craze.
It was that then straight to X-Men.
It's all about laying the groundwork, Dave.
You're correct, yeah. I would have gone Batman and Robin was really the straw that was the catalyst because it was a group movie because they had the Bat Team, but you could be right.
Yeah, they're like, wow, that movie was so badass. How can we make a badass movie just like that?
Let's get the guy who did Usual Suspects and a bunch of unknowns, put him in rubber, and see what happens.
Yeah.
Rest is history.
Mm-hmm. Actually, went on a date with Lynn to see X-Men back in 2000.
Yeah, 2000.
How'd that go?
Pretty good. Yeah. I ended up marrying her.
I, too, took my missus to see that movie.
Good stuff.
I was 10.
Wow. I was... It's a good thing that we didn't take you then.
I couldn't
I went
even
to see it,
to
but I assume I went to see it with my mom. I don't remember.
I remember the first time I saw a trailer for it, I was watching Battlefield Earth by myself at the Westminster 10 because I couldn't talk anyone to go in to see it. Like, no, it's going to be the best movie ever. It wasn't.
Uh-uh. Mm-mm. Even with Barry Terrible Pepper.
Movie. Yeah, I may have been wrong on that film. Did you even read... with Barry Pepper.
Have any of you read the book?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know there was a book.
You know the only thing worse than the movie? It's the 985-page book. Because the movie's the first half. Cruise and Travolta are still trying to get the second half made.
What?
Yeah, they're talking about doing it as an animated series or something like that. But yeah, the first half of the book is the whole silo invasion, like in the movie. And the second half is, the silos come back. Because even though they blew up their home planet, there still was a bunch of colonies and stuff like that. So,
thanks, spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah, like you're going to go read. You can't even read 278-page Ender's Game. You're
not mine's like 320-something.
Oh, yeah, mine's 278. But yeah, L. Ron Hubbard, the inventor of Scientology. How are you going to base your religion around a science fiction writer who was alive during your life?
But Xenu sounds so real.
Yeah. L. Ron Hubbard died like 20 years ago. It's not like we're talking like, religion that's been passed down for thousands of years. This is like a 40-year-old religion. And Tom Cruise is your mascot.
The really sad thing is, though, that he was very open about the fact that he started the religion to make money, and people don't seem to care about that.
Because they're making money.
Well, I guess that's true. Anyway.
Scientology.
Yeah.
Moving on.
I've been to the party. It's fun.
What else?
Yeah, don't you get to give them money and then they show you past lives that you lived? Like you watch it, they put in a movie.
It's a total Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. They're like, what do you think you were? You think you were a cowboy? And then they put in a John Wayne movie and they're like, that was you.
They've got a little red box or something in their projection room.
Yeah, that's good shit.
Streaming some Netflix.
I like it.
What you feeling like today? Scam.
Yeah.
But then again, aren't really all religions.
Touche.
We're not going to get into that,
right? You started.
No religion, no sex.
I didn't start shit.
You did.
I said Dianetics was a great book. Pick it up.
Dianetics is not a great book. I couldn't even finish Dianetics. It was terrible. There was no Battlefield Earth, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, we know that.
I think I have two science fiction books, and that would be Dahlgren and The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And that's it.
What's that
noise? Someone doing construction?
Yeah.
A hammering?
Who's sanding something?
I don't know. I don't hear anything.
Sounds like a cat with a scratch toy.
My cat is on my desk, but he's not doing anything.
You're banging.
Oh my gosh, driving me nuts.
like hammer banging, not good banging. And by hammer banging, I mean like the tool, not the wrapper.
It's not like a MC Hammer sex tape.
No. I wouldn't be talking to you guys if there was an MC Hammer sex tape.
I like this little dance with his legs. And he goes back and forth. It's kind of cool.
And he's like, stop, hammer time.
Yeah.
Then that's
anyway.
Fresh new kicks and pants.
That's it for television.
Do we have a fun list for this week?
We do, actually. I have the top 10 most nauseating rip-off 1980s cartoons. I was feeling a little bit nostalgic, and this list just kind of jumped out at me, and it looked kind of fun. So I think a lot of these you guys have seen, but some of them you may not have heard of. So I'm just going to go ahead and dive right in. And this is one I'm actually guilty of watching when I was a kid, because I loved everything Pac-Man. I don't know why, because it wasn't a particularly good video game, but there was an animated series called The Adventures of Pac-Man, and it was just a yellow ball with arms, legs, and a face who wore a little fedora, and he had a family. Ms. Pac-Man and Baby Pac-Man, and I don't even remember what the whole deal was other than the fact that they were always running away from ghosts, but it was an actual animated series.
Do you remember how when the ghosts got eaten, they'd have to go back to their house, and they have to go in their closet and get a new outfit to wear?
Yeah, like it was just new clothes. I vaguely remember that.
And there was like some evil sorcerer who was like their commander. He looked like Zurg from Toy Story, well before Zurg from Toy Story was a thing.
I am going to have to see if I can find if this is streaming anywhere, just because I want to be reminded of exactly how bad this was. But for some reason, I loved it as a kid.
If you find it, let me know. I looked high and low everywhere trying to find it, and I could not.
Yeah, this list that I'm looking at has some of them in video form, and this is one of the ones that does not. It just has like a really cheesy still from the title shot.
Sad.
So, it is sad. Number 9, yet another one I was guilty of watching, Star Wars Ewoks.
Oh, jeez.
And I was... You know, 1985, when the Ewoks and Droids cartoons ran, I think they went maybe till 86, but I was still deep in my Star Wars craze, and I don't know. I wanted to like it, but it's just so cheesy. Definitely aimed at kids, you know, trying to make a new generation of Star Wars fans, or a younger generation, I guess, back in those days when it was dying, and it did not succeed.
I have them on DVD.
I have them on DVD, and you know what? They're still wrapped in the plastic.
Aww,
just
sad.
Like 3 out of the 4 Batman movies that Justin owns.
Yeah. I'll have you know that I actually took the time to open them all. I wanted to watch them all before I talked to that Travis Langley at Comic-Con last year.
Oh, yeah. The
author.
Yeah, that guy.
So I took the time to open them all up and watch them.
Psychoanalyzing Batman.
Even though Batman and Robin is the best one, I decided to torture myself by watching the other three.
And torture it was.
You said it. Number 8, The Dukes. Did you guys have any idea that there was a Dukes of Hazzard animated series?
Nope.
Well, there was. And on YouTube, there is a 3-minute animated opening for it.
3 minutes?
Uh-huh.
Yep. Took 3 minutes to get that pointer.
Don't they just run from Boss Hog and that's it? And there's a girl with short shorts?
The original cast provides all the voices. It's just crazy.
Huh. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, check it out. It's called The Dukes. Number 7, Adventures of the Gummy Bears. I never watched this. I watched a lot of stuff out of the Disney afternoon, but Gummy Bears was not one of them.
Dude, I love it.
Watch the Gummy Bears?
Bouncing here and there and everywhere.
Find adventures that they come to share?
Beyond compare.
Dang it!
They are the Gummy Bears, dashing and daring, courageous and caring. Faithful and friendly stories to share. I think that's all I got. Somehow gummy berry juice.
But they can only use it like once a show. I'm like, just bring a bunch.
And there was that cool Duke guy that was all like had that wicked mustache.
And yeah, it was called him like Dookie.
Yeah. The Toadwort was this little like ogre friend.
Yeah, he's like, oh, Dookie.
That's good stuff, Randy. You'd like it.
Sounds like it. Number 6, Mr. T. There is an entire Mr. T inspired cartoon. I mean, why not?
Sign me up.
Number five. This one's for you, David. The Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Yes.
Swing your arms from side to side.
Let's do the Mario all together now.
That show sucks so bad.
The live action segments were so cheesy, but they actually had some pretty big stars. They had Magic Johnson, Sergeant Slaughter, Vanna White.
The Mario Brothers implements a game. We're not like the others who get all the fame. When your sinker's in trouble, call us on the double. Faster than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers. Tell a friend!
That's awesome. And then on Friday, it was Monday through Thursday, then Friday was Legend of Zelda.
Yeah. Zelda was always my favorite.
Excuse me! Oh, that's awesome.
Number four, Rambo and the Forces of Freedom. I can't believe they made an animated kids show out of some of the bloodiest movies ever committed to film.
That's the 80s.
Are they that bloody?
Dude, okay. Rambo? Well, Rambo, yeah.
It's explosions and stuff with the arrow.
Did you watch the most recent one?
Yeah, but that was years ago when the cartoon was made.
Well, I know when the cartoon was made, it was the 80s. But I'm just saying the most recent one is one of the bloodiest films I've ever seen ever. And the original ones, they were pretty violent. I don't remember how much blood was in them, to be honest. But I know they were pretty damn violent. And just dark. They were dark.
Yeah, they were dark.
Talk about Vietnam.
Number three, the Fonz and the Happy Days gang. The Fonz got his own animated series.
I bet it's pretty good, too.
I don't know about that. But you can watch a clip on YouTube. All right, speaking of other TV shows that got their own animated series, Gilligan's Planet.
What?
No joke. Oh, the theme song is pretty ridiculous, too. I'm going to send you guys the link.
Is it Planet Earth, or is it a whole nother planet?
I don't know.
They kicked him out of our planet.
So to get off the island, they build a rocket, and it's all filled with bananas and pineapples and stuff. And so they build a wooden rocket and blast them to some foreign planet.
How do they get fuel?
It's all purple and whatnot. I don't know. As far as I know, they're sitting there just pedaling. And there are these there are these space dinosaurs.
Oh. Well, yeah.
I'm looking at pictures. It kind of looks like space Flintstones.
It does. Yeah, the little dinosaurs, like totally space Flintstones, are living in caves and stuff.
Caves in space.
Yeah. All right. And number one, Rubik's the Amazing Cube. R-U-B-I-X. It's a cube with feet and a face. Like not even a face, but a head growing out the front of the cube.
That's hot.
Yeah.
I didn't remember that at all.
Yeah.
This list was horrible shows, though, right?
Yes, it was.
But see, Gummy Bears was fun. So that's a flaw in your list.
Your list is
I don't know. Great.
This Rubik's thing's kind of creepy looking.
Yeah,
I enjoy the Rubik's Cube, so I'm going to check that shit out.
Yeah.
I feel like you're going to be sad than the stadium.
Gilligan's Planet, too.
No way this is real. You Photoshop this, right, Andy? This is your dirty work. You evil, beguiling man, you.
One time, Tortuga went as the skipper for Halloween. He looked pretty good.
I remember that.
Well, that was a...
Yeah, good times, guys.
Good list. Top notch. Uptown all the way.
Now we're all silent as you're checking out the link.
All right, well, what else you guys got?
I think Jess has a game.
Okay.
I do have a game.
I like games.
I enjoy
it. It actually is going to fall into place with all the remake talk that we've had today.
Sweet.
I'm going to give you... I have several movies here listed, and I'm going to tell you the title, and you are going to guess as to whether or not it is a remake.
Yeah.
So, we'll start with Amanda, because that's the order that I wrote it down in.
Wait, do we all get to guess, or is it just one person at a time?
It was one person at a time, and I was going to give you points.
Okay.
Like the last game.
Perfect.
Wait.
Okay. The movie is John Carpenter's The Thing from 1982. Is it a remake or is it not?
I heard some clicking over there.
It was based on another movie.
Justin?
I thought the thing was the original one, and then they remade it again a couple years ago. I'll say no, it's not.
Dave?
Going no.
Randy?
I'll say yes.
Amanda and Randy are correct. It is based on The Thing from Another World made in 1951.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Name? John Carpenter's a hack.
Yeah.
Put his name on it. It's not even his.
It's much better than that. The one from 1951.
I don't like that movie because all the dogs die. I have a hard time watching animals die.
Yeah, that's sad.
And the first, 20 minutes is a dog running from a helicopter getting shot at.
Well, it's technically an alien. Spoilers. From 1982, it's an alien.
Nice. Yeah, I think the statute of limitations over on needing to warn people about spoilers. Once you get to 30 years, it's a fair game.
All right, next movie. We'll just go in the same order. Amanda, is Bedazzled from 2000 a remake or not?
I like that one.
Bedazzled? Is that the one with...
with Brendan Fraser and Elizabeth...
Early.
Early, yes.
I want to go next.
And that little red thing.
I'm going to say no.
Justin?
I'll say it is, yes.
Dave?
It is a remake, yes. And I can tell you who started.
Randy?
I'm going to say no.
Dudley Moore was in the original, Randy. Come on, you like Dudley Moore.
It is a remake.
Oh,
from 1967.
He was Arthur.
He was, but he was Bedazzled before.
Yes, he was. That's how he got rich.
I've never seen a single Dudley Moore movie.
You didn't see, like,
I thought Michael Caine was in the original one.
You haven't seen any of the Arthurs, Randy?
No.
I thought you were going to say, I saw the recent one.
Or Santa Claus?
No.
You didn't see Santa Claus the movie?
Nope. Negative.
John, like Father, Like Son?
Yeah. No. Not ringing any bells.
John Astin and Kirk Cameron? Good stuff.
Cameron. You're missing out. That, like Father, Like Son is a movie in your wheelhouse, Randy. Yeah. Like, that's like a typical 80s movie. That's the one. That's like the good version of Vice Versa, the Judge Reinhold movie.
Oh, yeah.
Kirk Cameron and Dudley Moore switch places, and Sean Astin is Kirk Cameron's best friend. You're on track. You'd like it.
It doesn't sound like it's terrible.
It's also like Freaky Friday.
And it's awesome.
But with less field hockey.
And no girls.
And no chicks.
Total sausage fest. Yeah. And Kirk Cameron has to be a doctor, which is crazy because he's a teenager. Yeah. Sorry.
Continue the game.
All right.
Not to derail your game completely.
The next movie is Spartacus. Is Spartacus a remake or not? Amanda?
No.
Justin?
I'll say yes. Wait, with the one with, like, Kirk Douglas?
Yes.
Like the Kubrick version?
Yeah, what the hell, why not? Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
Randy?
I'll say no.
Randy is correct. Spartacus is not a remake.
Didn't Amanda say?
I said no, too.
Yeah, Amanda was the same.
Oh, Amanda, I'm sorry.
Yay!
That movie's fake because his hair's combed through the whole thing. Gladiators didn't comb.
Well, he wasn't really technically a gladiator.
He was a slave.
Either way, slaves don't comb their hair, neither none.
He got product.
Yeah, he had exactly like Ralphie said.
Mud. He just put mud in his hair the whole time.
Gotta look good out there.
Yeah, it's a show.
Yeah, give the people what they want.
All right, the next movie is 310 to Yuma from 2007. Is that a remake or is it not? Amanda?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Dave?
It is.
Randy?
I'll say yes as well.
Yes, you are all correct.
Yay.
Same title, too, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Nothing. The original one was out in 1957.
Not as good as the Russell Crowe one.
Yeah, the Russell Crowe one had Luke Wilson in it.
That Angel, before he was Angel, from X-Men, not Joss Whedon.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, no.
I was like, what? Like, that didn't happen.
Warren Worthington?
Yeah, Warren Worthington III.
Yeah, he's mean in that movie.
Yes, he is.
He's a little creepo.
It's his comeuppance.
Yeah.
Christian Bale's in it. No one remembers that.
Well, he was like an amputee or something.
Cripple.
People have problems with that.
Yeah. He was Batman.
Anyway.
All right. Last movie Is Howard the Duck a remake or not? Oh. Amanda?
Yeah.
Justin?
I'll say no.
Dave?
I'll go with Niet.
Randy?
No, it was based on a comic book.
Correct. Which brings us to our winner, and that would be Randy.
Wow, yes. I don't think I've ever won one of these.
Woo. Well, you lose points because you never saw a Dudley Moore movie, so gotta fix that.
Yeah.
He's a national treasure, just not our nation's.
Yeah.
I don't have a prize.
But no prize?
Congratulations.
There's never a prize.
A hearty good job.
You're such a geek, man.
That's all the prize I need.
You need more stash wax.
Man, I don't know. I'm loading up on stuff now.
Is that flammable?
It's primarily beeswax, so I imagine it would melt like a candle, probably. It would be a really terrible smelling, like, burnt hair candle.
Oh. It's not sound pleasant.
No. Oh.
Cool. Well, take
not something you do.
Take us out, Dave.
Dill, I always take a side. You guys are getting tired of my voice.
Oh, I love your voice.
Never.
I play it back and whisper it and listen to it while I sleep.
Yeah, right. Because you're bored and you got to go to sleep.
No, I like hearing you whisper sweet nothings.
Oh, I'll whisper sweet nothings. You just got to have the phone by your ear. I'll just whisper. I'll stop by. I'll sneak in your window like a vampire in the night.
Okay.
Like Bram Stoker's Dracula, where he takes her in the maze and has his way with her.
As a wolf.
As a wolf. I'm like,
that was my favorite part.
I'm like, is it okay? Is this hot? Is there something wrong with me? Coppola.
Hey, she's a redhead. Just throw that out there.
Just to be clear, right?
It's how they do.
Yeah, it is how they do. Those dirty, dirty ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like Egret. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, I had fun. Hope you guys had fun. Make sure you guys check us out at geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews and posters and whatnot. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy. Thanks, Jess, for coming on. Hope you had fun. We had fun.
No problem, I did.
Even though Randy won the game, that dirty, dirty cheater. But you guys all have a great night, and I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I'll see you guys later.